This is Scott Becker, and I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Sachin Jain. Dr. Jain's had this remarkable career, and he's still a young guy, and he's going to tell us about his career, his priorities today, SKAN, and a lot more. Dr. Jain, can you take a moment to introduce yourself and just give the audience a sense of you and what you're doing and what you've done and so forth?
Thank you, Scott. Yeah, great to be with you all. Thanks for taking a listen, everyone. My name is Sachin Jain. I'm President and CEO of SKAN Group and Health Plan. Came to SKAN last year after 5.5 years leading CareMore and Aspire Health, which were the care delivery divisions of Anthem, Inc. And before that, I had a career in the federal government where I was part of the founding team at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, as well as worked as a senior advisor in the administrator's office at CMS, reporting to my longtime mentor, Don Berwick. I've had a career that spanned clinical medicine, managed care, the pharmaceutical industry. Had a brief tour of duty at Merck, where I led digital health for the company. My primary, I think, mission is to try to find ways to make healthcare better. I think all of us recognize that healthcare is such a fundamental kind of component of participation in society, and we have a ways to go in terms of making healthcare more affordable, higher quality, and more equitably delivered. And have a lifetime of work ahead of me, and really just happy to be here and talking with you today, Scott.
And Dr. Jain, what are you most excited about and most focused on right now? And people that don't know you don't recognize what the remarkable reputation you have as both a thinker, a physician, a business driver, and just an overall impactful person. Where are you most focused now? What are you most excited about right now?
Yeah, so I joined SKAN a year ago primarily because of its mission, which is to keep seniors healthy and independent. And that is an enduring mission that was the brainchild of our founders in 1977, who essentially we call them the 12 angry seniors because they were angry about the broken status quo of aging in the United States. So they embarked to create SKAN. At the time, it was called the Senior Care Action Network. And endeavored to really build community-based solutions to keep seniors healthy and independent. This is a particularly important mission because of its impact on our society. Most healthcare spending is concentrated in Medicare. Most healthcare spending is concentrated in our sickest patients. And we have to find better ways to address the needs of this population. SKAN today is a Medicare Advantage plan with $3.5 billion in revenues. We serve over 220,000 members in California. And when the board recruited me last year, they were compelled by the idea that Medicare Advantage is one way to achieve this mission of keeping seniors healthy and independent, but it is by no means the only way. And so we are in a in the first few innings of a journey to diversify SKAN's portfolio beyond just Medicare Advantage to include care delivery, to include solutions for some of society's biggest problems. And so we're focused very squarely on the problem of homeless seniors, actually, which is the fastest growing population of people experiencing homelessness. And we are, pioneering new approaches to address their medical needs and hopefully in the process get them stable and, properly housed. I think for where I am right now, I think the exciting part of the mandate that I have is this ability to work on some of society's biggest problems through a platform that I think is fundamentally mission driven. So I feel like I'm in exactly the right spot for what I care about, which is solving big problems. I think SKAN has the appetite to solve those big problems. I think the board has given me the mandate to solve those big problems, and I think we're building on an amazing team here that I think has done, just a phenomenal set of work over the last, 30 to 40 years. I think this has been a pioneering organization as it relates to, integrating the social determinants of health into our consideration of healthcare. But then also, with an appetite to kind of, leap forward and be part of I think, creating real solutions to problems that need to be solved.
And Dr. Jane, when you look at homelessness in seniors, that's obviously a horrible plight and extremely scary. Is that due to poverty, mental health issues, dementia, a mix of issues? What drives that large increase in homelessness in seniors?
Well, it's certainly all of the above. I think, you know, a big part of it is a lack of a social safety net, the lack of social connectivity. I think a big part of it is, housing costs. I think an underappreciated element is what you reference, which is healthcare problems. And with healthcare problems, I think of unmanaged or untreated chronic disease that, you know, frankly, puts people in a position to be bankrupted. Sometimes you have to choose between whether you are paying for your insulin for the month or paying your rent. That's the position we've put people in, unfortunately. I think it also has to do with the fact that, you know, we've got untreated behavioral health conditions and addiction. And so when you put it all together, I think one of the key lessons I've learned in my career is how you define a problem actually influences how you solve a problem. And I think we've flexed as a society into very simplistic conversations about homelessness being a housing issue. And I want to be very clear and affirmative that it is certainly a housing issue. But it is so much more complicated than that. It's a problem of social isolation, a lack of social connectivity, the deterioration of, you know, the traditional American family structure. It's also a function of, you know, how we actually manage medical conditions. And I would say in about 30 to 40% of cases in the data that I've looked at, untreated or undertreated medical conditions and medical costs end up being a major predisposing factor for individuals to be, to experience homelessness. And so, we are taking a healthcare first approach to addressing these issues by actually trying to apply principles of global capitation to medical care and actually move, the care of seniors experiencing homelessness away from fee-for-service care delivery, which only pays you when you show up for a visit for the emergency room, more towards a model of proactive management. And when you look at kind of what Medicare spends on, you know, the traditional individual experiencing homelessness on an annual basis, in the data that we've tabulated, you know, it ends up being about $25,000 to $30,000 are spent, you know, from Medicare on the care of seniors experiencing homelessness. There's a lot you can do if you kind of take that out of a fee-for-service framework and put it into more of a global capitation framework around coordinating care, providing, you know, social supports and social, safety net considerations, and actually keeping people out of emergency rooms. It's a much better allocation of our public dollars to think proactively about how to actually manage the care of these patients, as opposed to just dealing with problems when they happen and, you know, and when they're ultimately much more costly to manage and deal with.
And think of yourself as, I think of you as a physician, a thinker, a leader, an entrepreneur, a scientist. What advice do you give to physicians, for example, trying to have great careers? I'd ask you to start there. You think of another physician graduating. I mean, you're obviously ridiculously talented. You've got 3 degrees from Harvard. I do wonder if you ever come home and your parents ask you, why didn't you get a 4th degree? But I assume 3 from Harvard's good. But you're ridiculously talented. But what advice do you have for people, physicians trying to have great careers?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing I would say, as, you know, I think many physicians, you know, think a little bit about, kind of how they can have a broader impact. And they are, you know, oftentimes thinking about, you know, how to create impact that extends beyond, you know, individual patient interactions to, you know, systemic change. And the major piece of advice I give to folks in those situations is to stay practicing. I'm actually going to be resuming practice this weekend after a hiatus since leaving CareMore. I'll be at the VA hospital here in West Los Angeles, taking care of homeless veterans who are hospitalized. And I think, you know, that kind of grounding in clinical medicine ends up being so important. I mean, you don't have to practice 100% of the time, but practicing some of the time, I think, remains very important for you to have a realistic perspective on, you know, what's happening at the ground level of patient care that, you know, can then inform some of those broader, you know, considerations around entrepreneurship and policy and some of those higher level, you know, considerations that I think people oftentimes are eager to undertake. I think the second piece of advice I would give is really to aim high and swing hard and try to solve big problems. Life is way too short to be lost in kind of, you know, incrementalist, you know, thinking around, you know, how do we take a system that's, you know, bad and make it only slightly better? You know, I think it's always better to, you know, try hard and fail than it is to, you know, try a little and succeed a little. So I would, you know, really encourage folks to, you know, pick big problems to go after, big, hairy, audacious goals to pursue, and go after them. Again, I think, you know, failure is certainly a part of that journey, but I think it's far more rewarding when you can actually make improvements on, you know, on a bigger scale. You know, the third thing I would just say is to just recognize your position of leadership as a physician. And I think being that kind of advocate for patients, patient care, the values that you're taught in medicine, you know, are oftentimes absent in broader conversations around healthcare. And if, as the physician in the room, you're not the person speaking up on behalf of patients and families, no one else really will. And so I think it's a big part of our training as physicians to be advocates for our patients, to be advocates for this, you know, broader considerations and that, you know, patients and families need to face. And I would encourage everyone to kind of maintain that role and not lose sight of that broader mandate that I think is drilled into us in medical school, but oftentimes gets forgotten when we're in corporate settings. I think there's an appropriate disdain for so-called corporate doctors who ultimately kind of, you know, take on more of a business perspective on patients and patient care than kind of a more balanced perspective, you know, integrating, you know, a more thoughtful consideration of both, you know, kind of business considerations as well as patient considerations and family considerations. So I would say, you know, make sure you never lose that perspective as you, you know, continue in your career as a leader.
So I love the three thoughts on staying centered as a physician, which means, you know, getting close enough to patients regularly enough that you still see the world through actually practicing and patient care. Second is big goals, not incremental goals, and that's so hard for many of us. And the third concept is remaining in that corner as a patient advocate, you know, and remaining remembering why you're there. Let me ask you a different set of questions. You've also had success in the business side of healthcare, and just for a moment on, if you're an investor in healthcare, and answer this, don't answer this, whatever you think, Dr. Jane. How do you look at things today? Is it you see this abundance of opportunities that private equity funds, venture capital funds are looking at? How do you look at the world as it from a business perspective? Any thoughts or advice there, either from an entrepreneurial perspective, an investor perspective? What's your sense of how to approach things?
Yeah, so I'm worried. I'm worried that there's a lot of businesses being built to exploit, you know, short-term opportunities that are created through changes in policy or reimbursement, you know, instruments, as opposed to really centering on creating the next set of truly clinically great companies. And what I mean by that is, you know, we need kind of the next generation Mayo Clinics and Mass Generals. And I think a lot of what we're doing is building, you know, kind of the next generation, you know, enterprise that's more focused on short-term gain than it is on kind of long-term sustainability and transformation of care. And I think a lot of what gets heralded as transformation right now in our industry is actually just really incremental builds on, you know, kind of a broken status quo. And I think we have to start having much more honest conversations about what we are seeing as opposed to rubber stamping, you know, a set of companies that are, again, I think not necessarily doing what they say they do. There's always kind of a gap between what organizations say that they do and what they actually do in practice. But it's the great organizations that actively endeavor to close that gap versus, you know, kind of continuing their sales pitches. And I think, you know, for all kinds of reasons, you know, venture capital firms and private equity firms are often prone to rubber stamp what is truly incremental innovation as being, you know, kind of bold and transformative. And I think, you know, what we have is that Wall Street is kind of overtaking Main Street in our considerations of the delivery of healthcare. And I think that that's a big problem. And I think we need an investor movement that's much more focused on creating, you know, the next set of great companies that are built around, you know, sound fundamentals, great clinical culture, great clinical care. It's a big part of what we're trying to do out of SCAN. We're launching a new home-based primary care medical group. We're launching a new palliative care medical group. We're launching a homeless medical care group. We're trying to build a new company around the program of all-inclusive care for the elderly, or PACE. And the foundations of each of these companies is clinical excellence and greatness, you know, not necessarily, you know, kind of trying to take advantage of, you know, kind of changes in reimbursement policy that enable short-term profit motives, but ultimately don't necessarily drive, you know, towards truly great clinical care for patients.
So really this focus on, you know, truly trying to solve a problem, perhaps a deeper problem than how do I get funded quickly, sell it quickly, get out the door? Because there's so much of that. I mean, you could see that in any sort of situation where if you're a chief information officer, the chief of the service line, there are literally thousands of products being sold to you, many of which can be helpful, but not necessarily truly impactful. And can you have a deeper purpose of here's what we're trying to solve? And you and I know that in life, generally, if you try and really accomplish something big, do something big or set passionate goals, the money typically comes versus the other way around.
So yeah, no, I think that's right. But I think people, Scott, start with like the absolute best of intentions, but then over time get sidetracked by a lot of secondary considerations. And I think that that's what we have to kind of, as an industry, really refocus on. When people ask me about, you know, how we're going to change healthcare, you know, for the better, for the long term, you know, a lot of people get stuck on thinking about, you know, big policy proposals, you know, the outcomes of elections. I actually think all the policy instruments we need to create the healthcare system we deserve exist today. I think the issue is that we don't have enough leaders. We are, you know, very often stuck confusing, you know, kind of being a good administrator with being a real leader. And you see that around kind of the multiple failed opportunities that the healthcare industry has had to take on a leadership posture around, you know, many of the issues of the day, racism, health equity. You know, we kind of come in at the end of the movie. We don't actually script the movie and direct the movie. You know, we kind of are, you know, exist as the postscript to the movie. That's a problem. We should be at the forefront of leading change and transformation in society. And instead, you know, we operate with a high degree of responsiveness, not a high degree of proactivity. And we need principled leaders who, you know, have a real perspective on where the world and the system are going, as opposed to, you know, folks who are just trying to optimize the conditions of their organizations in the broken status quo that we have today.
I think, Dr. Jane, just a fascinating perspective. I heard so many remarkable things about you. It's just a pleasure to get a chance to visit with you today on the Healthcare Podcast. Thank you very much for making the time and visiting with us today. Thank you, Dr. Jane.
Real honor to be here with you, Scott. Thanks so much.